From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins with this update. The Alaska Department of Law is not commenting on lawsuits filed on behalf of three former state workers who say they were wrongfully terminated when Governor Mike Dunleavy took office. Department spokeswoman Corey Mills says the state doesn't comment on pending litigation. She also says the case involves confidential personnel matters. The Alaska Civil Liberties Union filed a lawsuit on Thursday on behalf of former state attorney Elizabeth Bacalar and psychiatrists who had worked for the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, Anthony Blanford and John Belleville. At-will employees were asked to submit resignation letters after Dunleavy's election and indicate if they wished to work for his administration. The lawsuit says Bacalar submitted a letter indicating she wanted to keep working, while Blanford and Belleville refused to swear allegiance to the Dunleavy agenda. And there's a shakeup going on at Alaska's Gas Line Development Corporation. Earlier this week, Governor Mike Dunleavy dismissed two board members. Now, there are four new Dunleavy appointees on the seven-member board. At the top of the new board's to-do list, fire the man who has been running the project for the last 2 years. But exactly what that means for the state's $45 billion gas line project and where the mega project now falls in the state's list of priorities is unclear. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Rasha McChesney has more on the story from Juneau.
Keith Meyer, the state Gasline Corporation president, has been the highest paid employee of the state since 2016. That's when he was hired to lead the state's efforts to bring natural gas from the North Slope into the world market. In the last few days of 2018, he got a set of performance bonuses that brought his total compensation for last year up to nearly $1 million. Those bonuses were meant to reward him for things like raising awareness of the project on the global LNG market and communicating with the legislature. Today, he got different feedback from his board of directors.
Keith M. Meyer is hereby relieved of his duties as Alaska Gasline Development Corporation, AGDC, president.
That's Jason Brune. He's one of four new members on the Gasline Corporation's board of directors appointed by Governor Mike Dunleavy. And it's not necessarily surprising that they removed Meyer from his position. Dunleavy weighed in on his compensation package during a Tuesday press conference.
I was surprised with that. It's not reflective of the priority of this administration.
But it's not clear what priorities the Dunleavy administration has when it comes to the Gasline project, and his office didn't return a request for clarification once Meyer was fired. Meyer's replacement is a man named Joe Dubler. His official start date is February 1st, and he'll be drawing down a $350,000 a year salary from the corporation. Dubler was a former vice president of the Gasline Corporation when the project was led by the three North Slope producers, BP, ConocoPhillips, and ExxonMobil. Those three companies stepped away from the project in 2016, citing unfavorable market conditions. That's when the state took over the project, and Meyer was leading that effort. But new board chairman Doug Smith says Dubler's appointment doesn't mean the state corporation is pivoting away from that state-led project.
What I would say is our emphasis is to keep the project moving. We certainly would like to see a project that eventually has commercial terms and viability that brings back producer engagement. And what that looks like in the future is uncharted territory. But we certainly see and know there's value in producer alignment and participation.
For now, Smith says it's business as usual for the project team. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rasha McChesney in Juneau.
And in other news, tonight the Juneau Assembly Human Resources Committee will interview candidates for the District 1 seat Assemblymember Jesse Keel is vacating. Seven candidates applied for the job. One will be appointed by the Assembly to serve until the next municipal election in October. Then voters will decide who will finish out the final year of the term. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more on the Assembly hopefuls.
Anyone hoping to represent District 1 must live in either downtown Juneau, Douglas, North Douglas, Lemon Creek, or the airport area. The candidates who applied for Keel's seat are Eric Forrest, Alicia Hughes-Scandese, Christopher Peloso, Melanie Shivens, Teresa Yvette Soutier, Martin Stepton Sr., and Kate Troll. Their applications are publicly accessible on the city website. Forrest is a partner in the Red Dog Saloon. He's been a member and a president of Glacier Valley Rotary, previously served as vice president of the Downtown Business Association, and is currently on the board of the Juneau Chamber of Commerce. Hughes-Scandese moved to Juneau to attend the University of Alaska Southeast and works as a grants administrator for the state. She's held leadership positions with the Alaska State Employees Association and also serves on local boards for the Alaska Folk Festival and League of Women Voters. Peloso is an attorney who worked as an assistant attorney general for the state for 7 years. He says he left to pursue private practice so he could work on a wider variety of cases and participate more in the community. Shivens runs Raincoast Data, a research firm based in Juneau that publishes analysis of local and regional economic indicators. She's a lifelong Juneau resident who's also worked for the state, Greens Creek Mine, and local consulting firms, and has served on multiple boards and commissions. Soutier is also an attorney. She spent 7 years as a public defender for the state, working in communities across Alaska. She recently decided to leave state work and set up her own law firm to work in a wider range of practice areas. Stepton has worked at both Kensington and Greens Creek Mine and as a union laborer on multiple construction projects in Juneau. The father of four regularly testifies at the state capitol and school board meetings. Troll comes from a background leading trade organizations and nonprofits and has owned three small businesses. She previously served one term as an area-wide assembly member from 2013 to 2016, but was defeated when she ran for re-election. After Thursday's interviews, the committee will forward its recommendation to the full assembly. At a special meeting next Monday, Keel will officially resign his seat. Then the remaining assembly members will appoint his replacement. Whoever they choose will be sworn in immediately after the vote. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
Coast Guard personnel in Alaska are reporting for duty as usual during the government shutdown and hoping they'll draw paychecks next week. Commander Michael Fowley says 121 uniformed personnel at Air Station Sitka and one essential civilian staff are working without the certainty of pay while the president of Congress remain at odds over funding for a border wall for Mexico. Fowley took questions on the impact of the shutdown during a presentation to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce this week. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has more.
No one's missed a paycheck in the Coast Guard yet. Although it's the second longest U.S. government shutdown so far, Frawley said the Coast Guard's payroll cycle functioned through the end of the year.
Everyone was paid on the last pay period, which ended December 31st. Our next pay period is January 15th. We hope that Congress and the President can come to an agreement. If they don't, they don't. So, this kind of works like every other pay period, is I work first and they pay me next, so I'm waiting to see.
He said that the Coast Guard is distributing information to personnel on available resources if they're really up against financial distress, but that overall his staff is weathering the shutdown for the time being.
Right now, we don't have a really large number of folks who are living paycheck to paycheck. Being in the Coast Guard, being in the military, you're paid pretty well, and as long as you're not going out and having any expensive habits like, you know, German sports cars or, you know, multiple wives and stuff like that, then you're living within your means.
Frawley said that the Coast Guard Mutual Assistance Program is available for personnel facing tough financial times. The program's homepage invites members of the Coast Guard to apply for emergency medical assistance and financial counseling, but states that its resources are not without limit. The site says that about $150 million is needed to meet a typical payroll for all uniformed and civilian employees. Frawley urges Coast Guard members to be patient and to be judicious about where they're getting information about the shutdown.
What I'm finding is that there's a lot of misinformation. I know it's kind of a general rule to believe everything that's on the internet, but it's not always true. And just ensuring that our folks understand what the timelines are, what is happening, because there's a lot of misinformation.
And some final advice on the shutdown from a person who flies helicopters in 300-foot visibility in southeast Alaska. Be cool, says Frawley. Nobody lose their mind. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
And taking a quick look at the weather for the rest of today, there is still a winter storm warning, which remains in effect until tomorrow at 4. And for tonight, you can expect more snow around 7 inches and lows around 30. You're listening to KTOO. For more news and information, visit our website. That's ktoo.org.